Good afternoon and welcome to Inside the FLX. I am your host, Josh Durso, and we are coming to you live from the Finger Lakes One studio in downtown Seneca Falls. We have an exciting show for you today as developer Lee Bieber joins us in studio to talk about some of the changes that have been happening in downtown Waterloo. Lee, welcome to the show. How are you?
Hello, Josh. First, thank you for inviting me. And hello, Finger Lakes, Waterloo, and the world. Hello, everyone. I'm excited to be here, and let's talk.
Awesome. So you started all of this probably long before anyone actually started reading about it in the newspaper or seeing it in the news. Tell everyone a little bit about yourself for those who don't know you. I know you're not from the area specifically, right, but you're invested here, so let's talk.
Sure. Well, first, to squash some rumors, I'm not related to Justin Bieber. That's definitely that.
Thank goodness.
But I'm from Brooklyn, New York. I went to college in Oneonta. I was doing business in accounting. After college, I did a little accounting, then went into my family business, which is a plumbing and heating supply business.
Okay, cool.
My father was in it from, well, actually the business has been around now for close to 100 years, but my father got in there in the 1950s, and my brother and I are in the business since, well, I've been in since 1986.
Very cool.
And we were in the, we're in the Williamsburg section of Brooklyn.
Okay.
Which back then was a really tough neighborhood. Lots of crime, lots of not good stuff going on.
Yeah.
Now is one of the nicest places you would ever want to be or visit. It's amazing. There's probably 70 amazing restaurants, bars. They're building hotels. So going from an extreme where there's drugs everywhere, you didn't want to walk 500 feet without taking your life in your hand, now is a majorly beautiful neighborhood. So I lived through going from one extreme to the next.
Other.
And from the plumbing supply business, we got into the real estate business. And we also then also got into the restaurant business also.
Okay. So the biggest question I think I've heard to date, and you've addressed it a couple times with some other news outlets in the area, why Waterloo, or what was the moment or the catalyst that really made you say, Waterloo is it? Waterloo is my next project.
Right. Well, it really started, I was dealing with a real estate agent back then who introduced me to Waterloo, and the mall was for sale. And I, you know, checked out the mall, and, you know, the place was beautiful. 99% was filled. Mint condition. And the price was really inexpensive, wasn't it?
Yeah.
And, you know, like that building in New York City is like $50 million or something. You know,
yeah.
Maybe more, actually. So,
yeah.
So the numbers were right. The rent roll was good. So it started from there. And also, you know, just from coming up here quite often. I started in Auburn. And then it moved over to Waterloo. But just one of my employees' sons, both sons live up here. So that's how I found my way up to the Finger Lakes. And just the lakes are beautiful. I mean, coming from Brooklyn to here, it's like, you know, it's like, wow, you know.
Yeah.
You know, so I really, you know, appreciate every little thing. And then Waterloo, you know, I saw all these buildings, and the prices were not expensive, and to me they were beautiful. Like every the architecture, the everything. They're beautiful buildings. They just needed some TLC. Originally, I just wanted to be a landlord. I didn't want to open businesses. I just wanted to rent places up and collect rents. And from there, so we had that. The mall was rented, but the other, then I started buying like more buildings in town. And on the village. And then from there, I had accumulated a substantial part of the village, let's mm-hmm. say. But I couldn't find anybody to rent the storefronts. Nobody wanted to make an investment in the village, you know. Mm-hmm. And even still to this day, I still don't have anybody. Well, not really one person, but one person to want to open a business yet. So,
yeah.
So I was like, you know, since I'm so invested in this town and the village, that I have to be the one to do it.
Mm-hmm.
And so, I part owners in a restaurant in Brooklyn called Dumont Burger,
mm-hmm.
where it's amazing comfort food. We were voted in Zagat's in New York City the 7th best burger in New York City.
That's awesome.
Yep. And you know, it was also on another website, 50 something in the country, you know, mm-hmm. that type of thing. So I had that in with the food industry, and
mm-hmm.
the idea was to turn Waterloo, the village of Waterloo, into a place where you could you know, have the best food, best arts, best everything, best music,
mm-hmm.
and off of that, you know, and I've already lived through this, because this is what happened in Williamsburg. You know,
mm-hmm.
it started with a few artists coming in and opening up shops, and
mm-hmm.
and then it grew. Like, one place would open, and then it'd be really good, and then people next door would start renting, and
mm-hmm.
it blew up into this whole thing. So. So I'm just basically trying to copy exactly what I've lived through already.
Yeah.
You know, I've lived through, you know, from going from 10 times worse situation that Waterloo was in to like, you know, you can't even afford to live in a, you know, rents $3,000 a month.
Yeah.
You know.
A transition, a real transition.
Right.
To that end, a lot of people seem to come about pretty quickly.
Mm-hmm.
But that being said, what help or what assistance were you given by local officials, politicians, et cetera, who,
sure.
you know, I'm sure they were very happy about you coming in to, you know,
right.
renovate Waterloo?
Sure. The local officials, actually everybody I've met has been nothing but gracious and
mm-hmm.
accommodating and friendly, you know,
yeah.
from everybody.
There's yeah.
So they've been definitely, you know, helping me, advising me in certain things.
Mm-hmm.
We opened our first place because we have plans to open a bunch of places in the village right now.
Yes.
Our first place opened is a place called West Main Kitchen.
Yes.
If you want westmainkitchen.com, you'll see the pictures of the place, and you'll see the menu and everything.
Mm-hmm.
And over there we're focusing. It's all farm to table food.
Mm-hmm. Located where the old Green Apple
yeah.
once was.
Right.
This is okay.
Yep. Right, 19 West Main Street.
Yep.
So we opened November 3rd,
mm-hmm.
and things have been great. You know, we've been having, you know, we were in the Finger Lake Times. We got a great write up.
Mm-hmm.
People love the place.
Mm-hmm.
I ate there this morning myself. I was like, wow, this is good. You know, I have executive chef of the place, Merrill Moore,
mm-hmm.
and the manager, Laura Rodriguez, they're running the place.
Mm-hmm.
They were from New York City, and they moved up to Geneva.
Okay.
And they're going to be running the food side of the business, and I also have, you know, I put together, what happened really is I put together a team of really good people
mm-hmm.
to work with me on these things.
Yeah.
This gentleman, Brendan Spiros, is the executive, let's call him the executive of all the businesses, we'll say.
Yep.
Running, you know,
yep,
like
yep,
the,
yep.
on the restaurant side. And
yep.
This gentleman, Joseph Follier, is the designer. In Geneva, I had I got with architects, Inside Architecture. They've been really helpful.
Yeah.
We're opening. So right now, Waste Men Kitchen's open.
Mm-hmm.
The next project opening is a place called Stands, which will have the similar food to Dumont Burger down in the city.
Mm-hmm.
Actually, a little bit nicer. We're going to do music there. Great food. you know, it's I named it actually my father's name was Stan. He passed away back in 2002, and I was like, you know, when we're trying to come up with a name, and I his name is Stan.
Why not?
Why not? And then also we're starting construction on art gallery / cafe, where I'm working with Steve Dupree and his daughter Kate, and they're going to be the ones running the place. The cafe will be sort of similar to a place where you can go and have like a great cup of coffee and relax with a laptop and some light bites and things like that.
Yep.
So we're gonna eventually we have a lot more plans besides that. We have plans for an arts and cultural center on Virginia Street. We have plans for a boutique hotel on Washington. Also a at the corner of 1 East Main is going to be a deli type place, and so we're going to, you know, our goal is just to make Waterloo a place where, you know, for food and for all that stuff, a
now,
place to come.
That's really great, and probably one of the bigger things or questions that I've heard to this point is kind of like what kind of timeline could people expect when it comes to, I mean, now it seems like things are kind of opening up at a pretty quick clip.
Right.
Is that going to continue, or is it going to be spaced out a little bit more, or is it contingent on some things? Or
Right. Well, that's a good question. It's going to happen as I have the finances to do it. You know,
yep.
You know, whatever we're making, I'm putting back into the village. So, you know, so if I had $50 million, we could do this in 2 weeks.
Yep.
You know, but it will, you know, as time goes, it'll happen. Sooner the better, we'll say. You know, I'm not trying to hold up. You know, believe me, everything could be open tomorrow, it would be. So,
yep. You know. One of the things we talked about a while back, and I'm not sure if this was something you were thinking about doing or if this was something you actually followed through. Did you purchase the building that was Save-A-Lot?
Yes.
And did you have a plan for that, or is that something that you're still kind of thinking about?
Well, we've actually that building is extremely important building for the village, because the goal of that building has got to be a place that's going to attract on the weekends, you know, 1,000 people to the village to come, and then off of that they'll come to Main Street and eat or shop or whatever, you know. So we have a couple of things in the works right now, but it's not 100% yet. But one of the things is it was maybe going to become a brewery, and that was one of the things. And the other thing was maybe a some type of co-op. Well, actually, there's a few things, but one was a wine co-op, maybe, where maybe we'd get like 10 wineries to rent spaces in there, and they, you know, people would come, and you could, instead of having to drive out to, and you know, back and forth to a winery, which would take an hour or an hour and a half, whatever, you could just come here and buy the wine and taste the wine, and you know, so that's a possibility also, but we do want to. Whatever it's going to be, it's got to be a place that people are going to want to come to. You know,
yeah.
You know, I've had offers for people to rent it, but it doesn't fit into the scheme of the whole that I'm trying to make happen. So, you know,
I feel like that's something important, something worth really reiterating. You're not just renting to whoever's willing to throw some money at you. You are actually like you have a plan, a goal in mind, and this I think this is one of the ways that you're. Renovation kind of differs from what other people have tried to do in other downtown spaces in the area. One of the more talked about things publicly, obviously, has been the reduction of 5 and 20 from 4 lanes down to 2 lanes.
Right.
What to do, if anything, did you have with that?
Actually, zero.
Okay.
But I do like it, because just know for my own self, crossing the street, it would at times be a sprint to not be run over by a car going 50 miles an hour trying to catch the light. So strictly from a not wanting to be hit by a tractor trailer standpoint, I like that. So, you know.
Do you also see that being a benefit for the downtown setting as a whole, 2 lanes as opposed to 4 crazy lanes?
Yes, definitely. I mean, a lot of times people speed right through the village and don't even know what's going on there. Mm-hmm. But you probably on the corner of 5 and 20 and 96, there could be, who knows, 20,000 cars could pass by a day.
Mm-hmm.
So this will slow them down, and hopefully they will stop and shop somewhere in the village. You know, if I have to stop traffic myself, I will. I'll put my hand up, you know, or I'll lie across the street and just, you know.
You're willing to do anything,
whatever it takes. If I have to pick you up and bring you to Waterloo to shop, I will, and I'll drive you back later.
So, kind of looking long term, you've been. How long exactly have you been working on this?
Well,
from like first writing the idea down on a piece of paper to where we stand now, how many years we're talking?
No, it's actually, you know, because originally this wasn't the plan.
Mm-hmm.
But when I finally decided I have to do it, I'll say a year and a half.
Okay, that's not bad. So that being said, piggybacking off of that, what are your sort of goals, wish list items, or kind of what you would like to see for downtown Waterloo in 5 years, 10 years, 15 years from now?
What I would love to see is beautiful storefronts,
mm-hmm.
With tons of activity going on there. I'd love to see 2,000 people walking up and down the streets of Waterloo shopping, similar to, let's say, Skinny Atlas or something like
mm-hmm.
that, you know, a New England-y type of look to it.
Mm-hmm.
I'd like to see beautiful apartments mm-hmm. above the storefronts, which we have plans on doing as well. We have the plans are drawn up and everything.
Yeah.
You know, so, you know, eventually that will happen as well. And just people just dining and having a good time. Like, you know, from small town, we're not going to compete with Walmart.
Mm-hmm.
We're not competing with Lowe's or the outlet stores, but
mm-hmm.
but from a arts, culture, food, we could blow everyone away. So,
mm-hmm.
so and that's what we're going for. So.
One item out of curiosity: you've been in Waterloo long enough now to sort of either be sucked in or not be sucked into the entire Lago Casino debate?
Right.
Have you sort of stayed out of the light on that one, or is that something that you think can just happen out there and it won't have any impact on what you're doing in downtown Waterloo?
Right. Well, originally when I did start this, the Lago was not even happening. You know,
mm-hmm.
that was luck. That was luck, basically.
Yeah.
From a standpoint of, you know, when this does happen, there'll be 2,000 more jobs 7 minutes away.
Mm-hmm.
Just simple economics. Those people will need places to live. They're
yep.
going to need amenities, they're going to need to shop.
Mm-hmm.
It's going to make the real estate values of everybody's houses go up.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's, you know, simple things. I have had two meetings actually with the casino guys, and
mm-hmm.
they were very accommodating, and they've, you know, it can only, you know, I mean, from a economic standpoint, it's going to help us out a lot, you know.
Yeah. All right, so now that we've got you on the record as being a supporter of the casino, what is your message to, you know, the residents of Seneca County, Waterloo? What's your message to them? Maybe they're not in Waterloo. Maybe they're in another community around here that sort of has gone through the same slow
mm-hmm.
crumble over the last few decades.
Mm-hmm.
What's your message to them in terms of there is hope?
Right. Well, my message is that, you know, I'm going to be trying my hardest, you know,
mm-hmm.
and to bring jobs, to bring life back to Main Street.
Mm-hmm.
And like I said, I've lived through it
mm-hmm.
already, and, you know, I'm not a genius. I'm not, but
mm-hmm.
I've lived through it. I know how to do it. I know, and my heart's in it.
Yep.
You know, that's the main thing. You know, of course everybody wants money. I'm not, but I'm really not in this for the money.
Yeah.
You know, but of course I want to make some money, but that's normal. And I know what's going to happen. I know, like, since, you know, positivity is goes a long way.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, I just you know, I'm going to make it happen.
So. Yeah. What has your personal schedule been like trying to make? Because you don't live here, correct?
Right, correct.
So that, in my mind, just doing simple math, it seems like you would have to keep a pretty insane schedule to oversee this and live life in New York, correct?
Sure. Well, my average day, the alarm goes off at 5. I catch the 5:49 train in the morning. We open the plumbing supply at around 6:30, 6:45.
Mm-hmm.
I work, you know, and doing the plumbing supply till about 4:30, 5 mm-hmm. o'clock. And while I'm doing that, I'm also, you know, these days with, you know, with the phones and with the texting and with all the stuff,
mm-hmm.
I'm in touch with everyone here. I'm in touch with people at the restaurant in Brooklyn. So I'm doing, it's sort of like juggling,
doing
a lot of juggling, but I really enjoy it. Mm-hmm. You know, the plumbing supply is everything's born out of the plumbing supply.
Yeah.
You know, so I've been doing that for almost 30 years now.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, through the years we started off and we were growing sales for many years, and then 2009 our sales dropped 50%.
Mm-hmm.
And for about 3 years we were getting killed, and
mm-hmm.
And thank God everything turned around and
mm-hmm.
came back, and now we're back up again. So I lived through a time where, you know, we were just trying to survive. You know,
mm-hmm.
you know, we were going to work. I was going to work losing money every single day.
Yeah.
For years, and you know, so I've been through that also, and
mm-hmm.
you know, you know, I know I can make it happen. I know how to do it. I have an amazing team of people that I'm completely lucky to be with on
mm-hmm.
this on this journey. You know, I could not do this myself. So so the team, you know, it's a team effort. In town, this gentleman Bill Segrist,
mm-hmm.
Who I had bought the hardware store from,
mm-hmm.
he's been amazing. I love Bill. He's helped me mm-hmm. out so much. I'm working with the Coldwell Banker Dendis. They're managing the properties, you know,
mm-hmm.
Collecting the rents, doing things like that.
Yep.
I have a great construction crew, one of my own, and also we have some other local people. I have a great lawyer.
yeah.
You know, so I put together, you know, because obviously there's no shot I could do this myself, but
mm-hmm.
but what I've learned, and it's only taken me about 30 years to learn this, is is how to delegate.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
So.
All right, so just to recap real quick, the next opening in downtown Waterloo is going to be?
Stance,
okay. Yes. All right, so Lee, thank you for stopping in. It's been really awesome talking to you. We want to wish you the best of luck moving forward. We are very hopeful about what Waterloo will be when you're all done with it.
Mm-hmm.
If anything ever comes up in the future, feel free to stop back in.
Sure.
You have an open invitation going forward.
Okay, great. I'll be back tomorrow.
All right, that's going to do it for us today. But next Thursday, Vicki Swinehart of the Seneca County Health Department is going to be stopping in to talk about public health, the recent hepatitis scares here in Seneca County, and a lot of other things they've been working on. And then after Christmas, after New Year's, we have an exciting show coming up on January 14th when Newark Mayor Jonathan Taylor comes in, joins us in studio to talk about everything that's going on in Newark, some of the things he's working on next year, as well as what has gone on in Newark, too. As always, check out FingerLakes1.com for the latest news and updates. Like us on Facebook, follow us on Twitter, and press the subscribe button at the end of this video to receive the latest podcasts right in your inbox. For Lee Bieber, this is Josh Durso signing off, and remember to join us next Thursday on Inside the FLX.